Chapter 1. April 1976. Mahony shoulders his rucksack, steps off the bus and stands in the dead centre of the village of Mulderig. Today, Mulderig is just a benign little speck of a place, uncoiled and sprawling, stretched out in the sun, pretending to be harmless. If Mahony could remember the place, which he can't, of course, he'd not notice many changes since he'd been gone. Mulderig doesn't change, fast or slowly. 26 years makes no odds. For Mulderig is a place like no other. Here the colours are a little bit brighter and the sky is a little bit wider. Here the trees are as old as the mountains and a clear river runs into the sea. People are born to live and stay and die here. They don't want to go. Why would they when all the roads that lead to Mulderig are downhill, so that leaving is uphill all the way? At this time of day, the few shops are shuttered and closed, and the signs swing with an after-hour lilt and pitch, and the sun-warmed shopfront letters bloom and fade. Up and down the high street, from Adair's Pharmacy to Farr's Outfitters, from the offices of Gibbons and McGrath Solicitors to the Post Office and General Store, all is quiet. A couple of old ones are sitting by the painted pump in the middle of the square. You'll get no talk from them today. They are struck dumb by the weather, for it hasn't rained for days and days and days. It's the hottest April in living and dead memory, so hot that the crows are flying with their tongues hanging out of their heads. The driver nods to Mahony. It's as if 100 summers have come at once to the town, when a mile along the coast the rain's hopping up off the ground, and there's a wind that would freeze the tits off a hen. If you ask me, says the driver, it all spells a dose of trouble. Mahony watches the bus turn out of the square in a broiling cloud of dirt. It rolls back, passengerless, across the narrow stone bridge that spans a listless river. In this weather, anything that moves will be netted in a fine caul of dust. Although not much is moving now, other than a straggle of kids pelting home late, leaving their clear cries ringing behind. The mammies are inside making the tea and the daddies are inside waiting to go out for a jar. And so Tighe Kerrigan is the first living soul in the village to see Mahony back. Tighe is propping up the saloon door of Kerrigan's bar, having changed a difficult barrel and threatened a cellar rat with his deadly tongue. He is setting his red face up to catch a drop of sun whilst scratching his arse with serious intent. He has been thinking of the widow Farrelly, of her new-built bungalow, the prodigious whiteness of her net curtains and the pigeon plumpness of her chest. Tighe gives Mahony a good hard stare across the square as he walks over to the bar. With looks like that, thinks Tighe, the fella is either a poet or a gobshite, with the long hair and the leather jacket and the walk on it, like his doesn't smell. All right, so? I'm grand, says Mahony, putting his rucksack down and smiling up through his hair, an unwashed variety that's grown past his ears and then some. Tighe decides that this fella is most definitely a gobshite. Whether the dead of Mulderig agree or not, it's difficult to tell, but they begin to look out cautiously from bedroom windows or drift faintly down the back lanes to stop short and stare. For the dead are always close by in a life like Mahony's. The dead are drawn to the confused and the unwritten, the damaged and the fractured, to those with big cracks and gaps in their tails, which the dead just yearn to fill. For the dead have second-hand stories to share with you, if you'd only let them get a foot in the door. But the dead can watch, and they can wait. For Mahony doesn't see them now. He stopped seeing them a long time ago. Now the dead are confined to a brief scud across the room that lights out, or a wobble now and then in his peripheral vision. Now Mahony can ignore them in much the same way as you'd ignore the ticks of an overloud grandfather clock. So Mahony pays no notice at all to the dead old woman pushing her face through the wall next to Tighe's right elbow. And Tighe pays no notice either, for, like the rest of us, he is blessed with a blissful lack of vision. The dead old woman opens a pair of briny eyes as round as vinegar eggs and looks at Mahony.